This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome to 5-on-3, the premier hockey podcast at WFUV Sports. I have the pleasure of being joined by two of the hockey beat reporters along with myself, the Rangers being covered by Lou Orlando, one of my co-hosts here with me, and the Islanders covered by Nick Palmer, one of my co-hosts also with me. So we kind of have most of the local landscape covered in hockey terms right now. And honestly, most of the local landscape is kind of making up most of the national headlines right now, for the most part, most of that coming from the New York Rangers and what they've done over the last couple weeks and overall this entire season. But first, before we get into all those semantics and things of that nature, how are you guys doing? I'll start with Nick.
Oh, I'm doing fantastic.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cross you up there. My bad.
Oh, no. I love a good cross up. Yeah, I'm doing fantastic. Hockey is winding down and some of these playoff races are getting tight, which I always enjoy. I feel like, especially maybe this year, and Lou and Chris, you might agree with this, is we didn't really have a clear playoff picture until about halfway through the season, whereas to years before, I feel like it was more clear. And we had a lot of surprises this year. I mean, the Flyers are in the hunt, for gosh sake. So, you know, you have a bunch of teams where we didn't even think the Capitals would be in the hunt either. So we have a bunch of teams in the picture now where we maybe didn't expect it at the beginning of the year. And that's what excites me the most.
Yeah, kind of like March Madness right now. It kind of feels that open almost a little bit, almost like 9 or 10 teams you feel have at least some sort of chance here. Lou, how are you doing?
I'm good. I was texting Nick yesterday because I think you can see I'm wearing my Pride Night Brooklyn Cyclones baseball jersey opening day yesterday. Like, baseball opening day, baseball has been my big sport for a minute. Baseball snuck up on me, and I think a lot of that has to do with, like, hockey and how wrapped up I've been in it. But like, these next couple weeks and the last couple days have been, for me, some of the best sporting days that I can ever have. Like, yesterday was Yankees opening day, so you get Yanks Astros, you had Islanders Panthers, which was a blast, and you closed out with Rangers Avs, and they had some fun March Madness games. I was locked into UNC. Like, right now, sports are in such a fun spot where you have everything overlapping. It's crazy. I'm trying to get as much baseball in. The hockey, the playoff push, as Nick said, everything's so crazy that it feels like every game, every day, there's a big hockey game that's like, this could determine playoffs, who's in, what the seeding is. That it's really, you'd have to be hard-strapped to find a better time to be a hockey fan that also loves other sports right now. Like, I'm having a blast.
Yeah, true hockey guy is watching Islanders Panthers during the Sweet 16 of March Madness.
And I was.
That's a real puck guy. Yes. I say that kind of ignoring the fact that I had at least one eye on Colorado most of the night last night. I'm not going to lie and say I didn't. That was absolutely fantastic. And honestly, a pretty natural segue into where I want to go right now, Lou. I'll throw it right back to you. You said you've been kind of wrapped up the last couple weeks and baseball snuck up on you. I kind of agree. I feel like we were just at pitchers and catchers just a couple weeks ago. Now the season has started, and rightfully so, you've been wrapped up. It's maybe one of the more improbable regular seasons we've seen from the Rangers, maybe since 2015 when they won the President's Cup, and they've really been fantastic over this last stretch. They've won their last four games. They've won 6 of their last 7, 8 of their last 9. They've been fantastic, and just some just true consistency of just great hockey for the Rangers the last couple weeks, Lou.
I mean, yeah, like, for a while, I think everyone was trying to compare this season to 2022 and the way the deadline worked out and everything like that. But now I think you're starting to see, no, this season has more shades and more vibes of 2015 when that Rangers team won the President's Trophy and lost to Tampa in the conference finals. And you felt like the Rangers, prior to the McDonough broken ankle and the Zuccarello broken jaw, like, they were the best team in the league. I don't want to make that claim. I get nervous about making claims like that, but like, these are the good times. And it's impossible to say that the Rangers aren't jumping right now. It's kind of remarkable because for most of this stretch, they've been without Jacob Trouba. They just got Lindgren back, and it doesn't feel like they've – like skipped a beat at all. They lost Wemberg for a game because he had a kid and it didn't seem to matter. And I remember a couple weeks ago looking at the upcoming schedule, which was you had back-to-back gauntlet weeks where it was 7 games in 9 days, and you were looking at Pittsburgh and the Islanders and Winnipeg and Boston and the Panthers and the Avs, and you win 6 of those 7 games. Like, that is a crazy stretch for this Rangers team that they're good. Obviously, they've been good the whole season, but to see them turn it on like this, I think I turned to my dad and I said this the other day, and I think this is the mentality I've kind of been taking, which is the Rangers can beat anyone in the league. And that's not to say that they can't lose to anyone in the league, because I think there are a lot of teams that can beat the Rangers, and even in a playoff series probably could. But the Rangers are going to go into the playoffs knowing that they are talented enough to beat any team in the league. And that is not something that a lot of teams can confidently say. And so if you're a Ranger fan, it's hard not to kind of kick your feet up right now and be giddy.
Yeah, that sense of belong, that sense of, and just one more second, Nick, before you go in, that sense of belonging, I think, is so important, Lou. And we talk about it with big underdogs in all sports, but that sense of belonging, I think, is half the battle when it comes to, and we even saw it in one of our women's basketball games this year. We stressed it a lot at St. Joe's this year, with Fordham women's basketball. That sense of belonging is really half the battle. And this Ranger team feels scary. It feels like teams may be scared of them, which is maybe a kind of part of their game that they hadn't really had before now. And that sense of belonging can't be any higher than it is right now. Nick, obviously, more of your attention maybe is a little bit on Long Island, but even from that perspective, it's an interesting perspective. How do you see this kind of Ranger run and how it's kind of developing right now?
This is such a great and deep team. And Lou, I wanted to ask you about this because Lindgren is back after 11 days and logged a bunch of minutes in the last game. Remember when he went down against the Islanders, like, and it took that hit to his leg, and everyone thought he was going to be out for the year. And like now he's back, like 11 days later, and he put up a bunch of minutes. He had 3 block shots, and he actually looked pretty good. So, I mean, what is, I guess I'll let you sort of go on a rant here, but what does Lindgren sort of represent about the depth of this Rangers team and just like just how solid they are through and through?
He's a psychopath, first of all. Like, there's no reason that he should already be back and playing in a game, and let alone he comes back the first game and he logs like 22 plus minutes in an OT game against Colorado. Like, he's crazy. I'd be lying to you if I said it's been like a great season for Lindgren. Like, I think this is the first year where when Lindgren went down, I wasn't like, "All right, like we're in trouble." Like, if there was
Right, we
ever
talked about that.
to withstand a Lindgren injury, it was this season. But no, he like his toughness and his grittiness is, I think, something that like this entire team just leans on, is like, oh, we have the psycho caveman in the corner that, yeah, his leg's gonna fall off and he'll be back 4 games later, because that's just what this team's about. But I mean, yeah, like this team was down, right? They're playing Zach Jones, who's been amazing. And then Chad Ruedel slides in. They've been having to play Scanlon too. Ruedel had a great game against Colorado. Scanlon's been fine. He goes down for a little bit against Colorado. Foxy gets hit in the face, and it does again. It doesn't seem to matter. So this team is super deep. That Ruedel trade ended up being a super prudent move by Chris Drury, where like I don't know that there was a huge need to improve it defensively, but injuries always happen. They happen in the playoffs. And so now you're 2 deep, where I like there is a legitimate conversation to be had about, I'm recording a podcast. There's a legitimate conversation to be had about like Zach Jones. Is he going to be on the playoff roster? Like, I don't think so. I don't think he's going to start. But could you argue that he's been better than Erik Gustafsson? I would say so. He's been playing really good hockey. I think they'll go with Gustafsson because he's more experienced. But like Zach Jones has not just been playing fine for a fill-in. Zach Jones has been good. And so that's a weird conversation to have.
Yeah.
Was it for both of you, because I know you were watching the Avalanche game, was it fun to watch Georgiev Shesterkin?
Oh my God, dude, I love when they go at each other. I think the Ranger fan base has a weird attitude towards Georgiev anyway, where it's not like we love him that much anymore, but they're still like, all right, we respect what you've done for us, but also like we really want to beat you. And I think it's just carried over into That's now the fourth straight game since 2022 that's gone into OT between those two teams. So like,
Wow.
and three of them I think are shootouts. So like Rangers Avs games, if that's the Stanley Cup this year, no complaints. Like that's going to be so much fun. I was like, because I was wondering, because the announcers, Joe Michelet, was talking about like Georgiev was sick, and in warmups he looked
Right.
awful, and then he has a great game. So it's like, no, Igor looks great. Georgiev has been the amount of games that he's played for Colorado, because they just don't sit him and they don't trust their backup goaltender. What Georgiev done has not got enough love nationally. He's crazy.
Yeah, I think the NHL would love Colorado, New York too. I think, you know, from a marketing perspective, that would be a slam dunk. It even kind of reminds me of Lundqvist Talbot back in the day. You kind of when those
Not a
guys would go
bad
at it.
comp.
I feel like it's maybe a little less. I feel like Lundqvist definitely probably had more superiority in that kind of discussion, but I feel like
But you know
it's.
what? There were some Rangers fans that started to argue about Talbot over Hank. It wasn't as strong as I think some of the Georgiev supporters, or this year some of the Quick supporters, but like there were legitimate conversations when Talbot was going well about like, oh, Hank's getting a little old here, what should we do? And the Rangers are
Well,
smart and they stayed with Hank, but like, no, that was the Rangers have been fortunate to have a lot of good tandems. Like Raanta was good for a couple years.
and that's why this is why I feel so strongly about Quick. It kind of just eliminates that sense of competition and someone breathing down your neck because it really just feels like Quick, you know, it may be competition in some sense, but it really feels like Quick is there to just kind of complete the puzzle unless, you know, take your job, which I think is also just kind of more peace of mind on Igor and maybe helps as well.
And now that
That's
Igor is going, the fact that you have both of them is just like, no matter who you trot out there, you know you're chilling. But when you have Igor out there, like we're back to that level of like, you have one of the top three goaltenders in the world in net, and you're gonna have a chance.
yeah.
That also generally, I think that attitude comes after you've won two Stanley Cups, you know? So, maybe Quick doesn't, I'm just messing with you guys.
But
But
you're that's
also,
not, but
like,
you're right.
they have three.
yeah.
Here's three.
Oh my gosh,
Don't
three because of
shortchange your
Vegas.
boy.
I'm not sorry, every Vegas title I don't count, regardless of the sport that it's in.
I'm with that.
But I you brought up Talbot Lundqvist, and I guess the only thing that I can say about that is only one of them was a 2024 All-Star, and it wasn't Hank Lundqvist. So
Certainly
that's
not.
wild.
Isn't that wild?
That is wild. And
Yeah.
honestly, and I mean that's that kind of can segue me somehow into Islanders 2026. The All-Star game will be there. That's how I'm gonna maybe
Right,
transition
yeah.
that. Maybe I can talk about how bad the traffic will be for 2 days around Long Island. It may just be the end, or maybe the straw that broke the camel's back for some individuals on the island. But nonetheless, I'm gonna kick it to Mr. Palmer. We call him Mr. Islanders around the WFUV offices. He is everything
Wow.
that he is the Islanders around WFUV Sports. I'll kick it to him because honestly, I don't have really firm opinions on this team right now. This Isles team feels like a big question mark all year long, maybe more even specifically since the stadium series or around that time. I know that was a running meme on Twitter that the Rangers broke the Islanders. I'm sure you don't agree. But just kind of maybe to just answer some of those question marks, how do you feel about the Islanders? And obviously, they're with the Devils right now, along with, you know, Washington in that wild card spot and then Detroit as well. How do you feel about them right now? And are you excited about this final push or are you kind of dreading it?
Well, as far as the claim that the Rangers broke the Islanders in that stadium series, I would argue the opposite, because if you'll remember, the Islanders come out of that stadium series game looking absolutely terrible and then win six bingos in a row. So, maybe the Rangers, if anything, fix the New York Islanders, but clearly not enough if
You're
that's the case.
welcome. You're welcome.
Well, you say you're welcome, and yet, the Islanders are still a good couple of points out of a playoff spot. And this is worth talking about. And I sent this out last night because I had like some clever tweet in my mind. I'm not sure what it was going to be, about how the Islanders season was going to end play losing against Florida inevitably tonight as the Yankees start their season on the same day, and how it would technically be over for the Islanders as the Yankees start. And then Casey Cizikas puts up three assists. Varley shuts down the Florida Panthers, who, you know, could likely win the President's Trophy. And then the Islanders force you to watch their hockey again. And is just another here we go again of this team makes you write them off about once a week, and then they'll win a game they're not supposed to, then drop two. And it's a consistent cycle. And so when you look about how nothing's really changing and how they made the coaching change and Patrick Waugh was supposed to fix everything, I like the way that they're playing better, but you can't – a coaching change is not going to fix the on-ice product. And the on-ice product cannot kill penalties. The on-ice product has a lot of defensive gaps, and the on-ice product can't hold zone time for nearly long enough if Matt Barzal's not on the ice. So when you run into those issues, you end up scoreboard watching because you can't rely on your own team to get you into the playoffs by themselves. And luckily last night, as we bring up the game – they beat the Panthers. You're watching the scoreboard. The Canadians beat the Flyers. That's good news for you. The Hurricanes beat the Red Wings. That's great news for you. The Maple Leafs beat the Capitals. That's excellent news for you. All three teams you need to lose, lose. You beat the best team in the Atlantic, arguably. And now you're sitting 3-4 points out of a playoff spot, and you're thinking, damn, this team might actually do it if the Capitals or Red Wings fall off.
Yeah, and honestly, this stretch feels a little deceiving. It doesn't feel like they've lost seven of their last nine. I mean, a few of the losses are bad, but most of them are competitive, and most of the teams they're playing are good as well. From an Islander perspective, this is what I would be curious of. Is the leadership of Uncle Lou starting to stray a little bit? Do you still have that full faith? I mean, obviously the coaching change with Patrick Waugh, it felt exciting toward the future initially. Maybe you feel a little differently about it now. Just how much faith do you have in Uncle Lou and kind of the leadership of this group right now?
It's so fashionable to say fire Lou on Twitter. It might be the easiest two words for any Islanders fan to tweet out ever. Fire Lou. You will never get someone who will openly come out in your replies and disagree with you saying fire Lou. With that said, the Islanders absolutely won the Bo Horvat trade. I don't think you can make any argument against that. And that was entirely Lamoriello's doing. I mean, you sent Atu Ratu and Anthony Bevilier to Vancouver and a draft pick for Bo Horvat, who has been probably your most consistent and best offensive player. Because
29 goals.
You don't count. Right, exactly. Having a great year. So that's a big plus. The one thing that I'm sort of scratching my head at, and Lou, I think you might agree with this, is the 7 years on Pierre Engvall, which are looking a little sort of, because it's only his first year of that contract, and he's not putting up the consistency that I think the Islanders were looking for. So you can blame Lou for certain transactions, but at the end of the day, I think he's had a net positive game, because just last offseason, he re-signed Varley and Sorokin to big contracts, as well as Horvat. So I think these are great moves from Lou. And yeah, the dub every once in a while might hurt them.
Yeah, you can probably critique the Engvall one, because I think I was listening to the TNT guys talk about how he just, like, he doesn't use his size the way that he should. And it's almost like shades of the when Kevin Hayes with the Rangers, like, this guy is 6'4" and should be a power forward, and he's not playing like one. Yeah, I'm kind of curious how this weekend have the same weight that you thought it would 2 weeks ago, where it's you're going to play Tampa and then Philly, because Tampa's so far ahead now that it's like you need wins regardless. But to
in
me
both
right
of those
now,
games.
Yes, but I also think like you can't afford to lose that many more games down the stretch. To me, the one that is must have is you have to beat Philly, because you have to have eyes on the Metro, that third spot, and you're going to have to chase down. It's looking like you're either chasing down that third spot in the Metro, or you're chasing down Washington/Detroit for the second wild card seed in the East. Because I think Tampa, not only have they locked – they haven't officially locked up a playoff spot, but Tampa's not falling out of it. They've played so well down the stretch. I honestly think they might have a shot. It'd be tough, but they honestly might jump Toronto and get into that three in the Atlantic the way they're playing. But it's – honestly, it's kind of weird because – and you think about the fact that the Islanders are only 1 point above the Devils, but the vibes feel so much different. And Nick, what do we? It feels like we talk about this every year that, oh, just wait, last week of the season, the Islanders will have a chance to make the playoffs. It won't be easy and it won't be sweat-free, but they'll have a chance to get in by the hair on their chinny chin chin. And we're 10 games away from the season being over, and we're in the same exact spot that they were last year, where their destiny's not in their own hands. They're going to need help. They're going to need the teams ahead of them to lose, but it's not over yet. And that's, to me, it's so wild. I don't know whether it's a compliment to the Islanders or whether it's, man, they can't ever put together consistently and put themselves in a better position where they don't have to do this. But the one thing I know is that the Islanders are not a team that's going to be eliminated from playoff contention before the final two games of the season. And that's just their MO year in and year out.
And I
this
also,
is the point,
and
yeah, Chris.
One more point, just adding on to Lou really quick before Nick goes. Just I don't blame any Islander fan for feeling that the evolution of this team or the growth of this team is stunted right now. It does feel like they're in a bit of a purgatory here, even with the roster. It should be doing more, but it still feels like a bit of a purgatory. And that, to me, feels like the worst place to be. I would rather be on either of the spectrums. And it feels like they should be better. And I don't blame any Islander fan for feeling in a bit of a purgatory right now.
This is the time of the year where, yeah, Lou, you mentioned your scoreboard watching for sure. But when you're looking at the last 10 games, you're sort of ticking off the ones being like, all right, you got to win that. Yeah, maybe we can lose that. You got to win that. You got to win that. And so you look at the remaining 10, and I'll run through them quickly because it is pretty fast. You play Tampa. I would be okay losing that game. If you lose in Tampa Bay tomorrow, that's okay. You got to beat the Flyers the next game. You got to beat the Blackhawks. You got to beat the Blue Jackets. Those are three games you have to win if you want the playoff spot. So that's going 3-1 in your next four. You can lose to Nashville, so that's going 3-2. You can lose to the Rangers, that's 3-3. But then you got a clean sweep the other four games, which is the Canadiens, the Rangers again, the Devils, and then the Penguins. Which means, in total, you have to beat one team ahead of you in the standings and beat every other team behind you in the standings if you want to sort of have control over your own destiny generally.
Yeah, the two Ranger games stacked at the end there is so tough. And the fact that Nashville is on the heater that they are, where it's like, especially the fact that everything is so jam-packed in the Eastern Conference and the President's Trophy race is not locked up. I know the Rangers, and they don't usually like ease off the pedal. Even it, unless they somehow clinch first in the East or the President's Trophy, which I don't – wait, it's looking – that's not going to happen even with as well as they're playing because everyone else is winning too. Like the Rangers are not going to be taking their foot off the pedal when they play the Islanders in both of those games. I just know them too well. Even if you could make the argument that, hey, maybe you should start resting guys and just make sure that you are healthy and ready for the playoffs, I think the Rangers are going to get juiced up for those games. So that's really tough. I honestly think Nashville might be your best swing game there, where they're a good team. They're ahead of you in the standings. They just lost to Arizona. So I know that Nashville's on a heater, but to me, Nashville is still the team that's the most beatable of those good playoff teams that you have to play on the stretch. But it's like, it's really tough to pick and choose. Like, you can't just say, hey, as you said, Nick, you can't lose to all the teams above you and still get in or still think you feel good about getting in. And this is the situation you put yourself in when you middle the entire season, when you're just kind of up and down, whatever. Now you're in this spot where, all right, now backs against the wall, you have to shove.
Another team that's in this exact same spot that probably didn't think they'd be in this spot is my New Jersey Devils on my beat report for WFUV Sports, a team that's virtually in the exact same spot, just a point less, a team that beat the Rangers last year in seven games, maybe one of the bigger achievements in recent Devil history. And then, you know, the run didn't necessarily go how they wanted it to, but they showed enough in the run to maybe have a lot of promise or just at least excitement for the future as Devil fans. And the year has not gone how they wanted it to go. They're 36-33 this year and 33, 36-4 this year. year, 76 points. They're a point behind the Islanders. They are 5 points behind Washington, and they're 6 points behind Philadelphia. They are not where they want to be. They've won their last two. They had a really bad loss that I had the fortune of being at on Monday in Newark against the Senators, where they really just looked deflated, did not look like they came to play. But then the next two games after that, it felt like they were almost kind of ready for those two games, and they had almost just had this Senator game in the backside, because they go and beat the Islanders 4-0, kind of jump on them right away too. That game never really kind of was a game. It was kind of over from the beginning. And then they go and they get a 6-3 win against the Maple Leafs, 6 goals against the Maple Leafs, keeping up with that fiery offense. Hughes and Heischer have been fantastic, as they usually are. And it does seem like when those two guys are really good, they win games. But when they're not, they are, don't win games, and it's not pretty either. Just kind of looking at you two guys probably don't have a ton to say about this Devil team, but from those perspectives, just how do you feel about the expectations going into the season and kind of just where they are now and how disappointing it's really been?
Chris.
You want to go next?
Yeah, Lou, you might want to hear this because this might influence your take. 9 games left for the Devils, okay? At the beginning of this pod, I will be honest, I had them more written off than I do right now, because those last two games against the against the Islanders and the Maple Leafs, okay? You beat them both handedly. You play the Islanders one more time and the Leafs twice again. If you can repeat that, that's 3 of your 9 games against teams that are higher than you in the standings that you have a significant shot of beating. And then if you beat Ottawa, Pittsburgh, and Buffalo, you have a serious shot of making the playoffs. So all of a sudden, when I was writing the Devils off, Lou, they have Elaine and Money Puck has them at a 17.4% shot of making the playoffs. That's higher than the Islanders.
I'll still write them off. I think we'll know whether or not they're dead by tonight, because if they lose to Buffalo, yes, you're cooked. I don't know how this team isn't already dead. Like, post-deadline, this team should have nothing. I watched them come into MSG, and after Rempe killed Siegenthaler and they get a 5-minute major penalty, they get 2 shots on goal. And in the entire 5 minutes, like, this – that they look dead at MSG. I don't know why they're not dead yet. I totally wrote them off. The fact that they have won their last two games against the Islanders in Toronto in convincing fashion, that's not nothing, but it's all right. Now, again, for them, it's put up or shut up time. And at least with the Islanders, what you have is you have the past history of, you know, that this team is gritty when it comes down to it.
Right.
For me, this is now, all right, we saw what the Devils were when they were this high-powered, amazing team that set the world on fire last year. But it's been a minute since we've seen them with expectations that they have underperformed, and now they still have a chance. Like, this is a new situation for them. Like, how tough is this team? Because honestly, my assessment of this team is I think they're a little soft mentally.
I totally agree, Lou.
It's a very revealing about the mental character of this team for me, that the way things steamrolled on them and they were never able to change it. They're 1 point behind the Islanders, so we shouldn't be talking about them in a different way than we're talking about the Islanders, but we are. And a lot of that has to do with history. So the Devils have a chance to change the narrative here. I don't see it happening. We haven't seen the Devils put together a consistent stretch of good hockey. That why are they going to do it now when there's 10 games left in the season? But I mean, I'm prepared to eat crow and be wrong about this.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, the soft point. I think this team is soft. I felt kind of, I was there when the Rangers came into Prudential Center. It feels like the morale of this team hasn't been the same since that beating the Rangers put on them. And, you know, the Rempe fireworks that kind of were there as well. And it just feels that the vibes, just on a vibe level, this team is nowhere where they need to be to have any sort of major success right now. That Senator game on Monday, it felt kind of dead. Not a lot of people at that game, and it felt like the vibe just was not there at all, and it felt like there was no energy either. And I feel like these things are very important for a team, especially around now, around mid-March time, heading into late March. You're really trying to get your team ready, get your team amped up. It doesn't feel like the Devils are in any position right now to really make any sort of impact.
They shouldn't make the playoffs. Like, I know the joke this year is that no one wants the second wild card spot. Everyone's trying to give it away. Like, Detroit should have had it, and they go sliding, and the Islanders go on a win streak, and it looks like they're going to get it, and they go sliding, and it's like every single team that's in the mix for it is doing everything humanly possible to give away a chance of a playoffs. But like the Devils, can even compared to the teams that we're talking about giving away the playoffs, like the Devils don't deserve to be in the playoffs. And if they get in, like, that would just be like a what the hell are we doing. So like, for all that is right and holy, the Devils should not make the playoffs.
Yeah, I totally agree. And honestly, this Devil team not deserving to make the playoffs, I think, is a big thing. It's also, I agree with that, Lou. It just feels like this team hasn't done enough. They feel like they are a playoff team, and they think they're a playoff team, but I feel like you need to do more than just that in order to actually be a playoff team and be a contender. Just to kind of wrap up everything, I feel like throughout this whole podcast, we've kind of talked about kind of the more intricacies of how close this race is, specifically in the East. Obviously, the West is a whole different animal, and there's contenders out there that are exciting. But what I wanted to do was maybe shine light, each of us, on one team that we think, kind of as we get closer here and as the drama kind of ensues, that we would kind of like to just shine some light on that maybe doesn't get the love or the attention or the talk that we think they should. I'll start, since I'm kind of opening this segment up. I want to start with Washington. The Washington Capitals, they are a very interesting hockey team. If you would have told me 10 years ago that Alexander Ovechkin would be leading a team in goals that's also a playoff team in the year of our Lord 2024, I would tell you you're out of your mind, and that he has to be at least 25% bionic by now. And he's not somehow, but he's still scoring 26 goals, which is absolutely unreal. And this Washington team, I've seen them twice. I saw them beat the Devils twice in New Jersey this year, kind of in close succession. And this team's fun. This team's exciting. They've had a bit of a mixed bag, but the mixed bag has been overall consistent. They've been overall consistent and just kind of inching up these standings over the last month or so. They've been really impressive and really consistent. And they're just a fun team. We haven't really seen Washington in the mix in a serious, serious contender way since they won their cup in 2018. And especially with how crazy this Ovechkin kind of goal journey he's been on is kind of leading him to, it would be fun to see them in the playoffs. And overall, I just think more people should be watching Washington hockey right now.
They don't go away. That's what's crazy. Washington hasn't gone away all year, despite all the hits that this roster has taken and trading Kuznetsov, and it feels like their core is a shell of what it was when they were a powerhouse and they were winning President's Trophies, and they're a point behind the Flyers for the third spot in the Metro. Don't sleep on them. They have given the Rangers hell this year. They've been such a tough out. Chris, you've seen them give the Devils hell. Like, Washington is on, like, I think they're a team that if you're not following them closely, if you haven't watched them play your team a couple of times, maybe you might disrespect them, but you shouldn't. They're far from the most talented team in the East. I think there are a lot of teams that on paper probably deserve to make the playoffs more than Washington, but Washington has played out of their mind to be in this spot. And they would be like a sneaky, tough out in the playoffs where it's like, I don't know if they could pull off a Florida upset, but I know that they could take a team to six, maybe even seven games and really make you sweat it if they're that eighth seed in the East.
Muted, Nick.
Yeah, that's a great point, Lou. Sorry, I was muted there for a second. Because I think there's a good reason why people maybe misjudge or underestimate the Capitals, the 2023-2024 Capitals, when they go to play against them. It's because they're not the same Capitals that have been making the playoffs for the last 10 years. They're more reliant on sort of younger defensemen to get the job done. And like, yeah, they have been leaning on Ovi at the end of the year to be putting the puck in the back of the net. But I mean, I've been really impressed with guys like Nick Jensen, and, you know, they have TVR now, and, you know, a bunch of guys where they really bolstered their defense and became a more complete hockey team. And I don't think teams are expecting that when they're heading into Washington. So I think that's a great point, Lou.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, we can kind of parlay this a little bit. I don't know where you guys are leaning Western Conference, Eastern Conference. I'll just stick with you, Nick. What is your team? You kind of just wish people, more people were watching.
See, I'm gonna say this, and then I'm gonna get two groans from the audience, and then you're gonna say you're biased and all that. People aren't paying enough attention to the Los Angeles Kings, but it's for a good reason. It's not because they're better than other teams in the Pacific. They're not. And it's not because they have some star player that other teams are missing. They don't. They're a very complete team. And I think that has to do with just the way Anze Kopitar plays. But it has to do with the firing of Todd McClellan, the hiring of Jim Hiller, who is Barry Trotz's New York Islanders assistant coach on the bench, by the way, from 2019 to 2022. He's now the Kings head coach. And they play a new style of hockey that is the most annoying hockey to play against, I think you could ever come up with. And that is in a league with John Tortorella. The new Los Angeles Kings is almost a offshoot or a more aggressive version of Barry Trotz style hockey, where it's absolutely soul crushing. They're not going to let you play the game. It's defense first. They go 1-3-1 in the system, and they absolutely smothered the Vancouver Canucks with it. They didn't know what to do. Nikita Zadorov was pissed after the game. This is what Zadorov said afterwards. He said, "They don't really make plays. They just rim the puck and sit back all game. I mean, it's their goal to not play hockey and don't let the other team play hockey, pretty much." And Doughty went off on this. He said, "That's absurd. I believe defense will win championships, and we want our identity to be a hard-checking, good two-way team." And a bunch of people in the league are saying the Kings are hell to play against. So if you don't, and if you haven't had a chance to watch the Kings in the Jim Hiller era, I highly suggest you do, because it won't be the most flashy or pretty style of hockey, but you definitely won't see it anywhere else in the league.
So wait. So Nick, let's just say hypothetically you had someone you knew that likes to bet, large, maybe millions of dollars on sports. Hypothetically, he's a Japanese baseball player that plays for the Dodgers. You would say Western Conference future, Kings to good value there.
Great value.
Let's
Yeah.
hypothetically.
I want to put on the record, I don't actually know. I don't even know if you're calling out Ife or Shohei directly, but
I didn't like I didn't say tra I said baseball player. I didn't say tra I just
There are a lot of baseball players
I
out there.
think Ife played. Yeah, there's a lot of guys out there.
So, but no, but specifically for value in that Western Conference, because obviously the Canucks have been great, Oilers have been great, Knights. That's kind of the three-headed dragon, and then it gets a little less fanfare when you think of teams like Kings, Kraken, Flames. Feels like they just pick up less headlines nationally. Those kind of teams are going to be kind of sneaking up on people, and you're kind of saying out of that crop, the Kings really kind of stick out.
It has to be the Kings, especially because they started off. I don't know if you remember, they started off this year super hot. They set an NHL record for road wins in a row to start the year. They won 13 straight on the road to start the year, which was absolutely crazy. And then they fell off a little bit. They lost their identity. They fired their head coach, and now they're back in a completely different way. And yes, the value's there. I do think, Chris, you're right. They're better than the Flames and Kraken. And I don't even think that you could even group them as a pack. I would say you have Vancouver and Edmonton in one tier. Then you probably have Vegas and LA. Vegas edging out LA, probably with the way that they're playing right now. Vegas has not been playing their best hockey. And then you have, Kraken and Calgary down there in the basement. So yeah, Kings, exciting hockey. I do think they're going to make the playoffs, and that's playoff hockey that they're playing. And I don't think whoever plays them the first round is going to be ready for it.
And just a small tangent before I kick it to Lou, is the Vegas thing just a personal thing, or is there actual legs on a Vegas Golden Knight LA Kings rivalry?
Well, there's always a Vegas LA rivalry, and that's existed before Vegas had sports teams.
Right.
That's always it's really not a far drive. I drive to Vegas I used to drive to Vegas once or twice a year, and it was like a 3-hour drive. So they're pretty close to each other. I think people from LA think Vegas isn't a real city. They often call Vegas sort of like a tourist trap hoax city. And I think that lends them to discredit them and give Vegas as a city less legitimacy. I'm not saying that that's right. I know there's a lot of people who live in Las Vegas and it's a big city now. I'm just saying that's
and
probably.
To be fair to Las Vegas people, to play devil's advocate, the pendulum in recent years may be swinging the other way slightly between LA as a city and Las Vegas as a city. Seems people are buying stock in Las Vegas, maybe selling their stock in Los Angeles, possibly. Thoughts, Palmer?
I don't have enough time to get into all that.
That's just the Dana White effect that's getting to me a little bit. But
when you build a city in the middle of a desert for no reason other than gambling,
only in America.
What's the real hoax city? You know.
Yeah, it's true, and we can kind of parlay that into the opposite of a hoax, a team that we're really on the rise for, a team that is not going to be a hoax in maybe a couple weeks when we see them in the playoffs, Lou Orlando, a team that you just want more people watching. Nick Palmer went with the Kings. Am I going to call it a biased choice, but maybe a little bit in nature a biased choice, but he knows what's going on and he's a little more tapped in there. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Mine was the Washington Capitals. They've just had kind of legs and they've kind of just been weird in that Eastern Conference. Now for you, what is your team that you want more people to watch?
I was toying with getting cute with this, but we haven't talked about them yet. So I think I do have to talk about them. It's Tampa. And that's obvious, and it sucks. I went on the beginning of the year, and I said that Tampa was going to miss the playoffs, and I just clearly don't know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to get ahead of this now before the playoffs start. Like, I'm not going to underestimate Tampa. There is a reason why there are certain portions of the Rangers fan base that are clamoring for them to lose games so that the Hurricanes will jump them and that they don't have to play Tampa in the first round if they don't get the top seed in the East. It's like Tampa is scary. They've won 8 of their last 10. One of those losses went to overtime. Kucherov, Point, Stamkos are all playing ridiculous hockey. Vasilevsky is finally playing goaltending the way that he probably should be playing goaltending. I'm still wondering if he'll last on a lengthy postseason run if they get that far. Because for most of this year, Vasilevsky, the save percentage was under 900, and he just doesn't look like the same guy. But Tampa, I thought the juice was gone, and it's not. So whoever has to line up with them, it's going to be the top seed that doesn't get to that's number two in the East. Whoever lines up with them, that is going to be a nightmare of a matchup. And it's okay to be frightened of Tampa right now. They might not be the best team in the East, but they're scary. And they're a team I look at that go, yeah, they can beat anyone. And that it stinks that we're still talking about them like that in 2024. But that's where we are.
Yeah, I don't love to talk about Tampa in a great light, just like Lou doesn't. So I'm going to talk about one of the weird things that's been happening with Tampa all year long. It's just kind of like a side story. Earlier in the year, it was a little more drastic, but Nikita Kucherov's point total compared to the rest of his roster was so egregious. It was almost like 60 points at one point in between Kucherov and number two. Now it's egregious. He has 124 points on the year. Number two, the second most points on his team, Braden Point with 81. That's still 43 points in discrepancy between number one and number two on their team. Nikita Kucherov with 82 assists in 71 games and 42 goals. I don't know how that's possible. He's incredible. And honestly, I don't know if necessarily he's put them on their back. They've had a fantastic stretch, but he has definitely got them through some of their tougher stretches of the season. And he's definitely one, if not the reason why they are where they are right now and have the opportunity to get as hot as they've gotten over the last couple weeks or so.
It's because he saved all his energy in the All-Star game. He saved all his energy and now he's ready to go down the stretch and just absolutely ball out. That's more people should take note.
If saving energy is 120,
take my joke.
What?
Yeah, you can't take my joke.
I knew that's where Nick was going.
I was getting there. I was getting there. It was supposed to be my, and then I was going to make fun of him for not trying in the All-Star game, but we're not going to do that, I guess. Lou is funnier, I guess.
I'm just so I'm quick like that. But now this, like, if you're a hockey fan and you're not being tormented by whether or not your team's going to make the playoffs, maybe like Nick, if you're one of the fans of the top teams that, like, all right, you've either clinched or you're probably going to make it, take the time to appreciate how awesome this playoff race is, because, I mean, the President's Trophy, there are seven teams within 5 points of each other at the top of the league. You have so, I mean, we just went through a bunch of teams that are in the mix. It really is kind of crazy where it's like, I've kind of gone the entire year, like, I don't want the Rangers to win the President's Trophy. I believe in curses. I am terrified of curses. And now that the Rangers lead the NHL, part of me is wondering, like, well, the last time they won the President's Trophy, they got to the conference finals. Like, should I be afraid of the curse? I wonder if I'll even need to, because, again, everything is so close that it's like we still have 10 games to go. The seeding could look entirely different in a week. So I like, this should be fun.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, my co-host, Lou Orlando. Catch all his coverage of Ranger Beat reports the rest of the season. Nick Palmer, also my co-host. Make sure to catch all of his Islander stuff the rest of the year. He covers most of the Islander stuff that we have. Mr. Islanders at WFUV Sports. And, of course, Tucker Austin, who's going to be producing this episode of 5-on-3. Thank you all for listening, and have a beautiful rest of your weekend. I just didn't say my own name, but it's chill.